And I was preparing, because Jesus is humble, and so I was preparing a sermon on humility. But then as I looked at Jesus' life, what I see also in Jesus is courage. And what we think is humility and courage is an opposite thing, but not in Jesus. When you see Jesus, he shows humility. He is humble. At the same time, he is courageous. And I believe that's a biblical model. And so at first I want to just talk about imitating Christ's humility, and then I'll talk about imitating Christ's courage. When we think about humility, some people have a wrong perception of humility. Some people believe if you're truly humble, it means you need to allow other people to treat you like a doormat. That's humility, you know. Yeah, if you're truly humble, it means that you should be okay with people treating you poorly. Okay? That's humility. You know, so we wrongly believe that if you are truly humble, that it is okay for others to shame you, you know, harass you, to abuse you. And I just want to say that it is never okay or right in the eyes of God for someone to shame another person, to harass another person, or to abuse another person. It is never right for anyone to control somebody, manipulate someone, or dominate someone. It is never right or okay for anyone to demean, hurt, cheat, or use other people. And so, the long understanding of humility is if you're truly humble, it is okay for someone to take advantage of me. And again, though, it is not right. Okay? That's not humility. People also mistake humility with low self-esteem. You know, you see low self-esteem, and you say, "This is humility." Biblically, what we see, in the book of Exodus, Moses, God comes to Moses through a burning bush, and God speaks truth to Moses. What did he say to Moses? "I have chosen you to be my deliverer. You will overcome the Pharaoh. I am going to use you to set my people free. I will help you." God told Moses, "I'm going to help you. I'll be with you. I will give you victory." He even says, "I will speak for you," you know. And what did Moses show? It wasn't humility, but it was low self-esteem. It was brokenness. It was fear. It was lack of faith. Moses responded to God saying, "I can't. No way. I'm not a deliverer. Oh, there's no way I could overcome the Pharaoh. As a matter of fact, he's going to kill me. I'm not a leader. No one will listen to me." You got the wrong person, God. And what's interesting is if you study the Bible in Exodus chapter 4, you see from chapter 3 to 4, he's just showing low self-esteem. "No, I can't do it. I can't, I can't, I can't." Right? And then finally Moses says, "God, please send someone else. Not me. Please send someone else." And the next verse in Exodus chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says this, "Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses." Okay? See, Jesus is humble. God commands us to be humble. God loves it when we are humble, but not when we're insecure, when we are fearful, when there's low self-esteem. But what we see over time in the Bible, and we go to Numbers chapter, Numbers 12, right? Chapter 12. Over time, in verse 3, this is what it said. Okay? Now, Moses was very humble man. And it continues, wow, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. He's the most humble man on earth. That's what the Bible says. You know, I'm kind of wondering about that because Moses wrote, Book of Numbers. But anyway, I don't want to go into that. But this wasn't during the burning bush encounter where he had low self-esteem. This was it was when Moses rose up as a leader and became of a deliverer of a nation. And so when he rose up as a leader, what God called him to do, and he took the faith, receiving the truth, what God said about him, the Bible says he was a humble man. So the Bible, not when he was fearful and had low self-esteem, but when he took the step of faith and walked out God's truth for his life. We think, when we're walking, we look at it in the worldly ways, worldly success, worldly achievement, and you go, well, you can't be humble. No. Moses rose up and walked out the calling and the purpose of God. And the Bible says he was the most humble man on earth. Humility is not believing you can't. Humility, what it does is it helps you believe God can. Okay? That God can. And so, what I want to talk about is humility doesn't mean lacking courage. Okay? Humility doesn't mean lacking courage. And I want to look, as we're imitating Christ, we're looking at Jesus. Jesus is humble. The Bible says Jesus is humble. Okay? At the same time, Jesus is courageous. Okay? Jesus is courageous. We always, a lot of people point out to the time when Jesus was facing the cross, where he was silent, okay? When he was silent, with all the abuse, all the rejection, with all the betrayal. Well, I believe that he was silent. You know why? Because he was about to take the sin of the whole world upon him. The sin of the whole world. All rejection, all shame, all guilt, all brokenness, all bondage. Jesus was preparing himself to take the sin of the world upon himself. But when you look at the whole gospel, okay, when you look at the whole gospel, you see the courage of Jesus. Jesus, when you look at the gospel, confronted unbelief all the time in his disciples, okay, with the leaders of the nation, the whole nation. He would confront the unbelief, the lack of faith in his disciples, in the leadership of the nation, and in the nation. Jesus corrected the false teaching of the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus was not being mean or lacking humility when he called the Pharisee snakes, brood of vipers, and wolves. What I see in the gospel, yes, Jesus was humble. At the same time, he was being courageous. He was being courageous. Jesus was not lacking humility when he chased out the money changers in the temple. He made a whip. He physically drove them out and he overturned the table. Jesus wasn't lacking sensitivity, grace, or humility when he confronted sin in people, when he confronted sin with his disciple, when he confronted sin of the nation. In Luke 13, it says, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. He was courageous to speak truth, and even difficult truth. He was courageous. And he didn't, you know, he didn't go, oh, I'm so scared. You know, they might not like me. As a matter of fact, he continuously spoke truth. So there was time in his gospel where all hundreds of disciples left him. Why? Because he was courageous to speak truth. Jesus was humble, but he spoke truth. He confronted sin. Jesus was courageous. Jesus is humble. Jesus is courageous. And as I was preparing this message, and this is the challenge that I want to give to myself and to this church and in our relationship with one another. I am thankful for Catalyst. And you know, if you're new, you're going to see that in Catalyst, there's a lot of grace. Amen? Okay? There's a lot of grace in our church. So, you know, in our relationship, you know, we are accepting. We want to encourage you. You know, we listen to you. You know, we want to give you the benefit of the doubt. We believe in you. We see the potential in you. There's a lot of encouragement and grace in our church. But I want to throw out this challenge. There's in our relationship that's very important, the grace. But I want us to have another wing. Okay, there's grace wing. We have the grace wing. A bird, right, has two wings. And then the truth wing. We need these two wings to start flapping so that we could fly, so that we could go deeper in our relationship with one another, so that there will be stronger relationship. See, what happens with grace is, it's very important, okay? It's very important. Grace is very important in relationship. But what happens with grace is you encourage, you know, you accept. But when you don't speak truth after a while, what you're doing is you start to fear people's opinion, what they think about you. And you start to be scared to speak truth. That's why you don't speak truth. Right? But love is about grace and truth. You know, and so, you know, in our, this is, again, I got to qualify this. Okay, you don't, it's out of love that we're doing this. Okay, not because you're angry with that person, not because you're frustrated with that person, not because you're critical of that person, not because you're bitter toward that person. If you are bitter, you should not say anything to anyone, especially to the person you're bitter to. That's when Matthew 7 talks about do not judge when you have a log in your eye, when you're in pain, okay, and you can't see clearly. The bitterness will make you not see clearly, okay? And so if there's resentment, frustration, critical heart, you're depressed and you're angry, okay, No, you gotta really get to that place. We speak truth out of love, out of love. And so because you see somebody, you know, there's consistently just selfishness, unhealthiness in that person's life. There's a bondage. They're hurting other people. Right? And you show grace. There's acceptance, but we also need to speak truth. There needs to be correction. And God commands the church to do both. Amen? Amen? Now, why do we need humility and courage? Because love is practiced in humility and love is practiced encourage. Okay? Loving takes a lot of courage and humility, both. And we see this model by Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. This is Jesus who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. We see here two things here coming together. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. There's humility and courage coming together here. See, when in his birth, this passage talks about Jesus, in his birth, Jesus came into this world in humility. God humbled himself and became a human being. He incarnated. Jesus himself is God. He could have, as God, he could have came any way that he wanted to earth. He could have came in all his glory, all the kingdom riches, be famous instantly, with worldly success, with much power. But instead, the Bible says he comes to earth clothed not in worldly glory, but glory of humility. He clothed himself in glory of humility. God, Jesus is God. Okay? He's eternal. He's almighty. He knows all things. He's perfect. He's all powerful. And Jesus as God could have came to earth any way that he wanted. Maybe with legions of angels, going before him. Trumpets blaring. Bright lights, lightning, earthquake, fire from heaven. Wow, wouldn't you want to come that way? Fire from heaven. He could have had all the rulers, the kings of the earth before him and had them bow down before him. But he didn't. Instead, he comes to earth in humility. Jesus' birth is arranged in the most humble circumstances. God himself comes as a baby. Jesus' beginning, his birth was totally helpless. He couldn't feed himself, couldn't turn over, couldn't walk, couldn't talk. Jesus was born in a poor family. Jesus' birth happens in the midst of shame because his townspeople, relatives and friends believe Jesus' birth was illegitimate. And then we see his birth clothed in glory. And then it talks about his death clothed in courage. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Death on the cross. What it's saying is, when you see how he faced death, because God loved you and me, he came to earth in humility. And because God loved you and me, he faced death with courage. Jesus humbled himself and was courageous in facing death, even death on the cross. God's love was practiced when Jesus, again, humbled himself in birth and courageously died to pay the penalty for our sin. And this is the challenge that, if the worship team can come up, because I think we might go into some ministry, or just the keyboard. Think about our relationship, your relationship, different relationships that you have. Love, you say you love this person. And again, the challenge is love is practiced in humility. and courage. It's like a two-wing on a bird. And but again, I need to qualify this. You know, if there's people that you're angry at, you don't. It's not about speaking truth to them, or you know, you're trying to help them first. You know, if there's judgment and bitterness and offense or fear in your heart because of this person, they're not the ones that you need to be courageous to. You need to spend your energy forgiving them. You need time to heal. You need time to grieve. You need time to be free. But there are people, okay? And I believe this is the way God works and me. There are like one or two people in your life that you've been praying about. You want to challenge. You want to love. And, you know, but if you have like, you know, like 30 people that you feel, I need to be clear. You're hearing this message. There's like 30 people. I need to be clear. No. Okay. It might not, you know, that is, I don't think that's God. You just, you know, might be, you know, just seeing what other people are doing wrong. And you're trying to fix everything. No. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit. God's calling you to love that person. God's calling you to help that person. God is asking you to also challenge that person. You know, you have shown humility in that relationship. You have shown them grace. You encourage them. You see the potential. You gave them the benefit of the doubt. My challenge to you and myself, ask the Holy Spirit. Okay? You need to start flapping the other wing. Okay? Not just the grace wing, but the courage wing. There's someone you need to practice by you want to show love, but you will show love by practicing courage. And this is a challenge. What does it mean to love them by showing courage? Right? You take your phone out, just ask the Holy Spirit, put down their name, and how is the Holy Spirit challenging you? What truth do you need to speak in love to them? That grace turns into fear of their opinion. We don't want to go there. And I want to continue. It's a personal challenge. It's about what God says is important in your life. That God is challenging you. This is important personally for you. For God's purpose for your life, His calling, and God's will for your life. And you have shown humility. You've been praying. You've been seeking God. You've been still. You've been waiting for God. But what I see is that a lot of time God already spoke to you about His will and His challenge and His passion and His purpose and calling for you. But what I've seen is I have seen many who become excited about the conviction from the Lord, what God told them, what was important, but lose that conviction in a moment because one person disapproved or one person disagreed. Didn't agree with you, or one person was critical or negative, and you gave that up. You weren't supposed to give that up. You were supposed to be courageous. There's an area that God is saying specifically to you, or God said this to you, He is saying to you, or something in the future, God saying, this is important. But there will be spiritual attack. There will be lies. Your emotion will go up and down. People's opinion will be up and down. You will struggle with fear. But I want you to stand in courage and say, it's not going to stop me. What does it mean to walk out in courage? What God says to you, this is important. What step do you have to take to walk out in courage for the personal calling, the destiny that God has for you? So, let the Holy Spirit point those things out again. Some of you have to go back and pick it up. What is it? With the passages in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. There's a promise that God has, and for us, for His people, for you. And this is His promise. And I want us to, this promise to be this sword, the word of God, sharp, that it will just pierce, go deep to the bone and marrow, to our soul. And this is the promise that God has and speaks to you and me. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Receive that promise. Let that be a seed planted in good soil of your heart. That truth. Receive that truth. And in Joshua chapter 1, after that promise, He gives you a command. He gives us a command in verse 6 and verse 9. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead this people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestor to give them. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. A promise, and He gives us a command, and how we're going to respond. Joshua chapter 1, verse 16. And then they answered Joshua, "Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go." Worship team, can you come up? Can you just respond to the Lord? Respond to the Lord. What you're responding is, "I will be courageous. I will be strong. I will not be afraid. I will walk in faith. I will believe. Whatever you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go."